The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want you to, if you have a writing utensil, a pen or a pencil, take that out quickly. And on the back of your bulletin, there's a space, a blank space, that I want you to do a little activity. If you're at home listening on the radio, you can certainly take out a piece of paper and make a few notes. What I want you to do on the back of your bulletin is list all the names of the disciples, the first, the original 12 disciples that you can think of. List those names on the back of your bulletin real quickly. Let's see how you do. Today we continue our study in the Sermon on the Mount from chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. So go, as I talk, just continue to write down names as they come to you. Some scholars suggest, as I believe maybe Travis did last week, that this Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' inaugural address. It's his platform that he's laying out as his ministry begins. It seems to me that on Super Bowl Sunday, we might think of the Sermon on the Mount more as a pep talk. Jesus' pep talk to his disciples as he prepares them for what's ahead. And so as I was thinking about that, I thought, I wonder how many of you can list all 12 of the original disciples. How are you doing so far? Anybody got 12 yet? Nine? Anybody higher than nine? Jim, you got 12? You got nine, okay. Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim. I couldn't do it either, really. So we've got the brothers, right? Two sets of brothers. Who are they? Andrew and Peter. James and John. We've got, if I said doubting, okay. Our gospel today is from the gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew was a disciple. Philip. Yep, I'm getting there. Nathaniel and Bartholomew seem to maybe be the same people, or the same person. Who'd betrayed Jesus? Judas. Most of you have Judas. And then a guy named Thaddeus. Or he might be referenced as Jude, or Judas, son of James. And then there's James, son of Alphaeus. And there's Simon the Zealot. So if this is a pep talk that Jesus is giving to his disciples, it's just for the simple fact that You and I, who read this book quite often, this book called the Bible, for the simple fact that we cannot even name all 12 of these disciples, is sort of an indicator that this is not a pep talk that is somehow going to make these disciples superstars at the next level. There will not be a lot of notoriety for them outside, at least outside of the circles of those who read this book in the coming generations. There is not promised any worldly success. There is not promised any lights or cameras, fame and fortune. No dazzling halftime show for the work that lies ahead for these disciples of Jesus. Instead, it seems to me to be a pep talk that teaches these 12 disciples, that teaches them or points them to what life will be like when they get mixed up with Jesus. When they live a loyal life of discipleship, following the one who leads them. And they are getting mixed up with Jesus, aren't they? The first wave of teaching that comes in this sermon came for us last week in the Beatitudes. And for those who are mixed up with Jesus, for those who are mixed up with him in the kingdom that he is ushering in, there are a couple of lessons that come to us early in this teaching. The first lesson is things are not always necessarily the way they appear to be. Those who appear to be blessed by worldly standards may not be, and those who seem to be either unblessed or even cursed may be walking very closely to God and being blessed day by day. And the second teaching seems to me to be that things will not always be the way that they are at the present time. Those who live at the top of the heap in this world and those who live at the bottom of the heap in this world will, the scripture, the gospel promises, will experience an overturn. For those who are mixed up with Jesus, these Beatitudes are good news. Again, they don't promise fame and fortune according to world standards or promise that we're going to be superstars at the next level. But these teachings of Jesus promise us life and goodness and blessing according to God's word. Blessings and abundant life in him. The second wave of teaching then comes in our text for today. Again, it is a teaching or a pep talk for those who are mixed up with Jesus, those same 12 disciples. A teaching first about identity and second about mission. It's a great word for us today on our annual meeting Sunday. The first word is about identity. You are the salt of the earth. It's a declaration. It's not a you might be or you will be or anything, but you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, it's no longer good for anything but is thrown out to be trampled underfoot. I'm not sure if Jesus was a chemist. My guess is no. I don't think what's that chart called? The periodic table was probably even put together until the 1400s or 1500s. I didn't look it up, but that's my guess. And yet, if we think about it, salt is the result of two elements, NaCl, right? Sodium chloride. And the only way salt will ever lose its saltiness is if those two elements separate, if they go back to their original state. NaCl. And in some way, even if Jesus wasn't a chemist, Jesus understood that a life is not truly a life unless it is mixed up with Him. Unless we're mixed up with Him and with His teachings and with His blessing and walking in relationship with this one who points us to the Father, to our Creator, to the one who made us, who formed us, and has claimed us and gathered us. It seems as though Jesus understands this. That it's not until we get mixed up with Him, that our life gets mingled with His life, that we find life. Shane Claiborne, a contemporary author, he was headed towards the best prep schools following high school. He was in, he was headed towards great opportunities and careers, and he says then Jesus got a hold of his life. And he says at some level Jesus destroyed his life, because Jesus destroyed his plans for upward mobility, his plans for success and glory and riches in this world. And now Shane is living in on the streets of Philadelphia with the homeless. And he started a ministry in Philadelphia where he reaches out to those who are often forgotten and unseen by the world. But it's there that he finds that his life truly has meaning and purpose. As he rubs elbows with and uplifts those who are downtrodden, it's there that he meets Jesus, much like Mother Teresa did in her work and in her life, in her ministry. You are the salt of the earth, because you and your life have been mixed up with Jesus in these waters of baptism. You died to yourself, and God, your Creator, has raised you up to be a new creation, to be a child of His own making. And it's there where you find life. And I'm sorry to say that there is no promise of fame and fortune or glory, or that your name will even be written in the book of history. At least Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and the other eight, at least they got their names written in the book of history that we as followers of Jesus use, but there's no promise that that will be true for you and me. I always like to say in 15, 20 years from now, people will say, oh, you remember old pastor, what's his name? As salt's identity is dependent upon those two elements being mingled, so is the disciple's identity dependent upon his or her life being mixed up with Jesus. And just as salt's usefulness is dependent upon being mixed into the whole of greater ingredients of a recipe to create something that is life-giving, so a disciple's life is dependent on being mixed into the world, sent and mixed into the world with mingled with Jesus to bring something good and something life-giving to the world around us. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. In the same way, oil in Jesus' day, oil and fire were mixed to bring forth a steady flow of light into the darkness. And when your life is mixed up with Jesus, it becomes what it was meant to be. It becomes what it was created for. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we hear these words from the Apostle Paul, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." When our life gets mixed up with Jesus, when a disciple's life gets mixed up with Jesus, it becomes what it was meant to be, a life of servanthood, a life of giving, a life of blessing. "Let your light so shine before others," Jesus says, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Give glory to who? Your Father in heaven. Not to you, not to me, not to James, John, Peter, Andrew, or any of the rest, but to your Father in heaven. What else can you tell me about these 12 whose names you may have written on your paper this morning? What else can you tell me about their life except that it was mixed up with Jesus? And because it was, you and I are here this morning, right? You and I have become children of God. We know very little about these 12. And yet we are here in this place. And we are empowered day by day in our homes to be disciples of Jesus Christ, in our homes and in our work and in our play. We are empowered by their witness and their faithfulness, by their lives that were mixed up with Jesus. We are empowered to be the church today, a light, a city on a hill, a beacon of hope. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're probably not going to be stars at some next level. But that's not the goal of the discipleship of disciple. The goal is to be mixed up with Jesus. And so in some ways we've met our goal. We, again, through baptism, our lives are mixed up with Jesus. We are in relationship with him. And because we are in relationship with Jesus, and our lives are mixed up with his, we are in relationship to our Heavenly Father, and we are in relationship to our neighbor. It's our mission at Emmanuel Lutheran Church to build community in the name and in the likeness of Jesus. To build community in the name and likeness of Jesus. Jesus drew people to himself, and then he sent them forth to continue his work of love in this world. Gathered, gifted, and sent. That is who we are. We are children of God who are gathered by the power of the Holy Spirit, sanctified, blessed, forgiven, healed, and sent to a world in need. Jesus goes on to talk about, "Do you think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets? For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of the letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. What is Jesus changing the message here? No, because the law was meant to be at the heart of relationship. Think about it, the law and the prophets. We heard from Isaiah 58 today. Is this the fast that I choose, some holy and pietistic moment? Or is the fast that I choose for you a day to forget about yourself and give bread, share your bread with the hungry, and open your home to the homeless, and clothe those who are naked? Relationship is at the heart of the law of God. The first three commandments in the list of 10 are commandments about our relationship with God. You shall have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And the last seven are commandments about our relationship with our neighbor. And so when Jesus commands us to keep his commandments, He's saying that when your life is mixed up with mine, you just can't do anything else. You were created for relationship with your Father and with your neighbor. And so he invites us today, again, he invites us today saying, follow me into that work, follow me into that ministry and into that mission. Robert Capon says that the work of God is always toward the lame, the little, the least, the lost, and the last. And that was the work of God in your life and in my life. As he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, he was coming to you and I who were enemies of the cross, who were enemies of God, who were lost and forsaken. He was coming to us through his son Jesus Christ to mix our life up with him, to redeem us and to give us a life of purpose, hope, and joy. So Jesus invites us today again to follow him. To follow him into these ways of relationship and into this way of life. God came to us as the lame, the little, the lost, the least, and the last to give us hope and life. Again, not a life of stardom. Not a life of fame and fortune, but a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of hope, a life of joy, and an eternal life, a life that never ends. On this, our annual meeting Sunday, let us recommit ourselves to our baptism. Let us recommit ourselves to lives that are mixed up with Jesus. Let us reclaim for ourselves that identity that we have as children of God. And let us hear again his call saying to us, follow me. Follow me, and he will lead us. As salt and light, he will lead us into the world to bring light, to bring hope, and to bring love to all people. Amen.